Supreme Court begins its new term this morning, October 1st. It's a Monday, first Monday in October. You know the routine. The last term was quite a revealing one for the court of Chief Justice John Roberts. But what are the issues and themes that will extend on what we already know, and where are some of the surprises likely to be? For more on the cases before the Supreme Court this year, we turn to Jeffrey Rosen, professor of law at George Washington University. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
Good to be back.
So what are you looking most forward to of the cases that we know the court is going to hear?
Well, it could be another blockbuster term. There are cases involving the future of affirmative action that are already on the docket, and we expect cases about the future of gay marriage and voting rights. I guess the biggest case in the first weeks of the term is the affirmative action case. The question is whether the court is going to overturn the landmark cases from 1978 and 2003 that allowed public universities to engage in affirmative action. And Chief Justice Roberts, along with the other conservatives, have been very skeptical about this, and lots of people expect that the court may significantly narrow the degree to which public universities can engage in affirmative action.
This issue of suing foreign corporations for violations of international, I guess, human rights law in U.S. courts, that seems to be filled with all kinds of contradictions and gray areas. Will the court resolve that this term?
You know, it's a complicated and really fascinating case. When it came up, as we discussed last year, it seemed like there was a stark contradiction between this case and the Citizens United case. Citizens United said that corporations are persons for the purpose of the First Amendment and have free speech rights. But in this case, the oil companies were arguing that corporations cannot be sued as persons for aiding and abetting torture abroad. The Obama administration has shifted positions in this case in a dramatic brief. In the latest incarnation, the Obama administration agreed that because all of the conduct took place in Nigeria and Shell Oil is a foreign-owned corporation, it cannot be sued. So having initially said that the corporation should be liable, and now they're saying that they're not, and that's really upset the human rights community.
So the target of this lawsuit before the court is the Royal Dutch Shell Company, right?
That's exactly right.
And the plaintiff is an American?
Some of the plaintiffs are Nigerians who legally reside in America.
I see. And in the issue of Fisher versus the University of Texas at Austin, that is the affirmative action case. What are the specific facts in this case that make it either different from the cases we've already heard or likely to be as groundbreaking as you suggest?
In Fisher, the University of Texas adopted a plan in 1995 that gave automatic admission to students who graduated in the top 10% of their high school classes. Because high schools in Texas are pretty geographically segregated because of housing patterns, that had the effect of boosting minority acceptances. But then Texas concluded that that wasn't enough because there were lots of classes in which there were no African-American and Hispanic people. So as a result, they, in addition, began to engage in race-conscious admissions. It's that second boost, using race as a plus factor, that's being challenged in this case. And the challengers are saying that having already adopted the 10% plan, Texas is not allowed to take race into account as an additional factor in admission. And this raises very starkly the question of whether the landmark Bakke case from 1978 and the Grutter case from 2003, which allow race-conscious admission, should be overturned.
Jeffrey Rosen, finally, before we go, what does this term say possibly about the Obama Justice Department? I mean, we don't know the outcome of the election. Things may change in November. But what does the previous court terms and looking forward to this new court term say about the Justice Department? It seems a little all over the map, and you've already given us one example.
It's absolutely true. I mean, the corporations case is an example where the Obama Justice Department took a more conservative position than the State Department, greatly frustrating Harold Coe, who's the legal advisor to the State Department. By contrast, in the gay marriage case, the Justice Department shifted positions and refused to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, which the court may be hearing. Don Verrilli, the Solicitor General, having been criticized for his oral argument in the healthcare case, was belatedly vindicated, so he's got some capital to ride there. But the truth is that President Obama has not really given a clear signal about exactly what his legal policy is and his litigation posture before the Supreme Court. And if he wins re-election, there's going to be increased focus on him, especially by civil libertarians and people on the liberal side to tell us exactly what he thinks the Constitution requires.
Very interesting issues. As the court opens its session here in 2012, Jeffrey Rosen, a professor of law at George Washington University, on the first Monday in October. Thanks so much.
Great. Pleasure as always.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.